Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Frederick Eckers.
Hello, everyone.
So on tonight's show, we are, there's not much news going on. Actually, some kind of news dropped a little bit just before we went on the air, so I'll kind of get into that. But we're mostly going to go over the latest episode of What If. Fedra's seen a couple of movies that she's going to tell us about. I saw an anime series I started watching. I just wanted to kind of give you guys my little brief review of that one too. But and Jack, I don't know, Jack might have something to say.
I'll jump in it every so often.
Okay. So I guess, let's start with Fedra. So what movies have you seen, and tell us if you've liked them?
So I caught up with Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. Loved it. Hands down, I think I really agree with you. And I'm very shocked because when I first saw both trailer, I was like, nope, not interested. And now it's like, I want to watch them again. And I also watched Suicide Squad.
I'm going to go into it.
I will. And then I watched Suicide Squad, the first one, because I didn't feel like I should just watch the second one, even though I should, but I'll get there. But I just wanted to, like it in sequence. But I really liked Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2, and I know that you disagreed with it, but I don't know. For some reason, I actually liked the soundtrack throughout the film. Like, not just because they're great classic, songs, but just that connection, with Quill's father, like toward the end, his real dad, that was really intense. And I will admit, at the end, I cried like a little girl. I mean, it was bad. I don't know why. I was crying for Quill. I was crying for Yondu. I was crying. I swear, I got so emotional about it. And it was just
I haven't seen that in so long. I was like, who is she crying about? Oh, yeah.
And it was
right.
Interesting. And I keep forgetting Bradley Cooper. Is it Rocket?
Hmm? Yes.
Okay, and I even cried for Rocket because that intimate moment between Rocket and Yondu is like, yeah, you're just like me. And I was just like, oh my God, they are. It was just so intense. I don't know what's going on. I'm just being honest. I usually don't cry like that, but it was just happening. And and then the whole thing with his dad and how and twisted and disgusting the whole plot was. I was just so sickened by this man who literally killed, the so-called woman that he loved. I mean, it was just wow, such a
many women that he loved.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I'm just saying that part was what? Really? And it was action packed. I mean, I love the whole thing. Really.
Did you like it better than the first one?
Yes. I think both had great flow, and I really appreciate the flow of the first one. And I think it's just really just kind of, as the music term, crescendoed, the second one, really. But honestly, I do want to watch both again.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if I like the second one better, but they both are really good movies. And James Gunn does do a good job with those characters and the music, like you said. They did have good music in the second one. They had Brandy and...
Mm-hmm. Wham, bam, shang-a-lang.
Yeah.
That was in there? I forget. But, what was the one by ELO, in the beginning. Mr. Blue, was it?
Maybe.
You know, when Groot was dancing. That was a good song.
Oh yeah, and he's yeah, and that was cute too. And like for like, I mean, I thought maybe it was a little long, but I get it, you know, it's Baby Groot, you know. And I love that, like that kind of like transition of him into a baby. And I'm hearing that I guess in the next one he's gonna be a teenager. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I think I remember reading this. So that's not really Groot. That's like...
No, almost... that's supposed to be like Groot's kid.
Yeah.
It's not Groot comes back. In the comics, whenever Groot gets blown up like he did in the first movie, Rocket usually plants a twig or something, and he comes back as Groot. You know, he's sort of he's regrown, regenerated. Supposedly, Baby Groot / teenage Surly Groot is not the Groot we know from the first movie. This is an all new Groot. Same kind of jokes with the, you know, I am Groot, you know, but it's not the original Groot. It's a new character.
Yeah, Baby Groot is, he's cute. Teenage Groot is annoying.
He's supposed to be. He's a teenager.
Well, I'm sure your son was never like that.
Oh,
I mean, consistently?
My son has his moments.
I'm just saying it seemed like Groot was just, teenage Groot was like mad at the world and just played video games and he didn't care about anything. I don't think that, you know, your kids would be consistently like that. He's not.
No, my guy's pretty good. He's not consistently cranky, but I don't get it nearly as much as his mom. You know, for some reason, he's a lot quicker to be cranky with his mom than he is with me. You know,
I did like Kurt Russell as his father. I thought that was pretty good casting.
Yeah, he did great. And, you know, I really am a big fan of Kurt Russell in general and his acting. He could just be good. He could be bad. He's just great. Really, really great. And I wanted to also say that I can't remember that race, but I looked at the behind the scenes for the future and I'm really interested in the Adam character.
Because, Adam Warlock?
Yeah, because I also was watching that, like, he kind of sides with the Guardians eventually. Because he kind of sees that they ain't half bad. So I'm wondering how that's going to play out in the next film also.
Adam Warlock was much bigger in the comics, and he was very instrumental for the Infinity Gauntlet, the Infinity War, and he wasn't even in the big Infinity War mm-hmm. movie or Endgame, which kind of sucked. Because they could have easily brought him in, but I guess they just felt they wanted to use a different character in his stead. But, you know, yeah, hopefully he'll come around, but I don't know. Yeah, he might be in 3. I never even thought about that. That's
yeah, well, point. I mean, the cocoon is there. We saw that at the end of volume 2. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were just saving him for volume 3 versus bringing him out. They probably figured they had so much stuff to cover in Infinity War and Endgame that they're like, you know what? Let's just save Adam Warlock for volume 3 of Guardians.
Yeah, I think if they included him in that whole thing with the Infinity War and Endgame, they might have to make 3 movies and they're better off just making 2.
I also like the different dynamics of like the like underneath kind of relationship tones, like between like Yondu and how he kind of went against the code and was kind of like a loner from there on out. But then, you know, when he got Chris, or it's Chris Quayle, right? Or no?
Peter Quayle.
Peter Quayle. I'm blending the names now. Sorry.
It's so tough. You lose all track of the Chris's in the MCU. They sometimes start to merge.
And wait till you get older when you start losing memory cells.
So I like, you know, that relationship of Peter to Yondu. And then when Peter meets his real dad and having that kind of conflict, and it was hilarious how he was telling everybody that his dad was David Hasselhoff. That was just great. I loved that. But then you also see the two sisters. I'm going to get their names wrong. So help me, guys.
Gamora and Nebula.
Yeah, and how they're having their issues. So it's like showing all the kind of conflict relationships. It was good. It was something that, you know, a lot of people could relate to, just not, you know, in a galaxy
far away. We had that discussion once before on the show where over our favorite actors in the MCU. And of course, I put Karen Gillan on the list. I made the audacity to say she was better than that hack Hugh Jackman or something.
I was going to say, was this a dream? I don't remember this.
And they're like, how could you say that? And I'm like, I mean, look at it. I mean, Karen Gillan played a horrible, vile person. And in one scene when she's having her heart to heart with Gamora, she completely turned around the perception of that character. And this character that you hated on screen every minute up until then, you're like, holy smoke. You know, and I thought that took a heck of a lot of acting talent to flip an audience that quickly in one scene. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of great scenes in that movie that are underappreciated.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you completely because, yeah, I've hated her the whole time. And then it made sense. It made sense, that kind of resentment and jealousy and really seeing that she's been suffering this whole time. And it's like,
I mean, really suffering when she's like, yeah, you just kept cutting little pieces of me off, you know, and you never stopped. You never cared, you know, like, no wonder she's so screwed up in the head.
Exactly.
I'd be okay if I was her. I mean, she's super powerful. She's kick-ass. I'd get over it. I'd move out of my father's house.
That's the kind of stuff you don't get over, dude.
I know. I mean, she's totally going after Thanos, you know? Talk about another character in there that has a dad issue where she's now trying to get back to him so she could kill him herself. Like, whoa. Yeah.
All right, so on to the Suicide Squad. So you saw the first one?
Yeah, I saw the first one. And I mean, I don't think I need to watch it again. No. But I would say that there were some, you know, scenes that were quite comedic. I'm going to be kind of open when it comes to Harley, because I do see where you're saying, like, it's too much. Where, you know, at least, and I'm gaining my, you know, thoughts of Harley from comics and from the Batman animated series. So for me, I always see Harley as entertaining, but more psychotic. In this film, it just seems that she's entertaining and she just wants to get everybody's attention. So that's where I kind of agree with you, Joe, that it's a little too much. I actually liked Will Smith playing Bloodshot.
Deadshot.
Yeah.
There is a Bloodshot, though. No.
Bloodshot's in the next one.
Okay, gotcha.
No, that's not Bloodshot. That's
Bloodsport?
Bloodsport, yeah. Bloodshot's the guy. That was Vin Diesel made that movie. Isn't that a variant comic book or something like that?
Oh.
Anyway.
Don't know. Right.
Anyway, he was good. I did like the oh man, what was her name? She was the government woman. I mean, she was just
Amanda evil.
Waller. Yeah, I mean, she did great acting. I love that actress, by the way. But she did a heck of a run with that and twisting everybody and getting everybody into the control. And I actually liked the witch concept, because it was very interesting, because I mean, a lot of the listeners don't know that I, you know, I study and practice a lot of metaphysical things. So when I saw the actual witch and I saw like the vessels and how they revive her brother and how they have that kind of interjective play of energy to kind of build together and, you know, go back to their quote unquote civilization where humans worship them, I was just like, whoa, they're kind of taking a lot of like old ancient stuff and putting it into this kind of modern vibe. So I really liked that. I wish they could have played more into making maybe the brother more powerful, because all he just seemed was just like a muscle bodyguard. Nothing interesting, where, you know, I would like to have seen that.
I barely remember that movie. I don't even remember a brother in that movie, but... Okay.
And I like Diablo. I liked the fact that he was the only one who was just like, you know, yeah, man, you know. I know you're going to RD to me, but he's like, I messed up and I'm not going to hurt nobody no more. And then Will Smith's like, yeah, you're going to do it. Yeah, you're going to do it. And then it's just like fire, you know, it's just like, all right. Like, I don't know. I liked that scene. It was just like, okay, pushed him to the limit and he just burned all the bad guys. Cool. Let's move on.
You know, so, it was funny. I mean, I was on a forum like after The Suicide Squad came out, which I guess it's a sequel, and how some people had seen it back to back, either at home or in movie theaters. They were offering that option to see both movies. And it's just so funny that came out. Frederick, do you remember?
In 2016.
2016. Back then we didn't have a problem with Harley. And if you remember, little girls were dressing as her for Halloween and stuff like that. But now when people watch it, they're like, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. She cannot dress that way. Like, they felt uncomfortable. Like, people even considered leaving the theater and coming back for the second movie. And it's like, damn, did we change a lot in 4 years? You know, because she was on the cover of everything.
Yeah, again, I remember.
In comics, they made her as slutty as can be, you know, and in, again, the Halloween costumes, that was it. That was part of her persona. I don't agree with it. I liked her better when she was just a Harlequin, like when she had that whole thing and she was covered head to toe. But that's what they created, you know, back then. They felt, I guess, back then that sex sells. But again, society now condemns something like that. And when you watch the next one, you should watch the next one, you'll see that she's basically covered from the neck down, you know, like she's completely covered. Anyway, I thought that was humorous that people are so offended now looking back at her.
Well, I mean, I liked her bat. I thought that was good. But yes, otherwise the whole outfit was completely over-sexualized. And I mean, I do like in the beginning where they showcase her on her like self-made trapeze in the cage, you know, just to kind of, you know, point that out, and the flashbacks of that relationship. I mean, Jared Leto was terrible.
I was going to ask you.
I am definitely going to call Jared Leto out, and he was terrible. All he was playing was a bad guy. He was not the Joker. Sorry. No way. I know you wanted so much to be that, but no. Sorry, I am tearing him apart because I'm sorry, Jack, but because you haven't seen Joaquin Phoenix, you know, I mean,
hey, Heath Ledger is the Joker for me.
I agree. I mean, he couldn't even touch him. Like, I mean, and so what I did like is that they kind of quickly showed this relationship of, you know, Harley. And I do like that theory of like, in order to prove her worth to Joker, she had to like fall into the Acme stuff. Like, that's a good, you know, but again, it felt rushed. It felt incomplete. And I mean, I feel that they could do a whole movie just on that if they really wanted to do a really good psychological cinematic movie, but chances are they're probably not. So yeah, I mean, but I needed to say that because I was very disappointed.
Everybody was. I don't know anyone that liked Jared Leto's Joker. And
yeah, No.
He comes back in the Justice League movie, which was bizarre. And he basically is impersonating Heath Ledger's Joker in that one, which is even more bizarre.
Okay.
But yeah, no, the only parts I kind of remember from the original Suicide Squad is when Batman shows up the two times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did too.
Otherwise, I hated it. And I hope that we never get another Suicide Squad movie after this, because I'd rather them focus their energy on, you know, superheroes that are more well-known and that we like.
Yeah, but I think by going with the lesser-known heroes and villains, they can have a little bit more fun with them, because they're not encumbered by all those iconic baggage.
I'm just saying, I don't know how many years I have left on this earth. I don't want to have to wait like for a really good superhero movie because they're working on Suicide Squad to come out next year. You know what I'm saying? It's like, give me the good stuff. Give everybody crap after I'm dead, okay? But for now, that's what I kind of hope. It's like, I wonder, it's like, if I'm dead, will I still be able to watch the movies? I'll try to see if I can get a free pass to come down just to watch Star Wars and Marvel and DC movies.
And James Bond. Roam the theaters, you know, as a ghost.
I'd love to do that because, you know, I'd be complaining throughout the whole thing. The whole theater would be shaking. It's like,
yeah.
No!
Popcorn being thrown everywhere.
Female Ghostbusters 2? No!
Female Ghostbusters. I was just watching it earlier tonight.
How could you watch that and you can't watch Joker? You make me sick. You really do, Jack.
Because unlike you, I think Kristen Wiig is a national treasure.
As well as
Melissa McCarthy, can't take her leave, but Leslie Jones is also very good. And Kate McKenna is great as well. So I don't have a problem with those women like you do.
You really know your stuff when it comes to comic books, but you
know. But I have terrible tastes in movies, I know.
And women, too.
On a regular basis.
You know, basically.
And women, too.
Yeah. I mean, if you think any of them are national treasures or slightly attractive, ugh. Anyway, I'd be willing to watch Ghostbusters, that version, if you watch Joker, but I don't trust you. I think you'd have me watch that stupid movie. And then you're like, I couldn't do it.
That might be a cool idea for an episode. Like, we all like choose like films to watch, and then we got to kind of critique them all together. That might be something.
But I'm just telling you, he won't do it.
I'm not going to watch Joker. I have zero interest in it.
All right.
You've been trying for over a year. Zero interest. None. I'd rather watch paint dry. You know, just because maybe that might show a different.
I'd rather watch Paint Dry. I'd rather watch Ghostbusters, the female version, and I'd rather watch Venom for like three or four times than to watch Joker.
Joker, correct.
I think you are the only person in this planet that has that mentality. Whatever.
All right.
So, is okay, Vico? Did you want to say anything else? Bedroom.
Oh no, we're good.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up because I'm going to get critical about something that we're going to talk about. Don't want to spoil anything yet.
All right. What I do now?
No, not you.
Okay.
I started watching this anime series. It's called RWBY, and it's on Crunchyroll. And it came out in 2012. It's actually an American anime, which surprised me after I watched it. But I love it. The animation isn't that great, but it's basically about four girls. It's kind of like a hybrid of Harry Potter and X-Men. And these girls are kind of heroes. Some of them have superpowers, but some of them are incredibly skilled at what they do. But you have like one character that's like the main team is RWBY or Ruby. And the main girl is like Little Red Riding Hood. You know, she wears a red hood, but she's got like this mechanical axe that also has a gun in it. And she just kicks all sorts of ass. Everybody kicks all ass in this. And it's an all-girl team. Weiss is kind of like Elsa from Frozen. They say she's like Snow White, but she's got ice powers. So come on, give me a break. Blake is like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. She's got a whip. And Yang has got these gauntlets that fire bullets when she punches. And it is so cool. I just cannot get enough of it. In the middle of season two, I was like, you know what? It's official. I'd rather be watching this than anything that Marvel has been putting out on Disney Plus. I was just, again, it's just done well. And what I want to mention too is that the cast is diverse. It's mostly women, you know, are in the school, but you know, they have some guys in there too. But they go through everyday issues that I guess like a girl can relate to, but a guy can too. You know, like they're having troubles with exams. Like one girl is a few years younger than the rest of her class, so she's trying really hard to get people to like her. They have boy problems or dating problems. And I just think it's great, you know, because it's fun, because they're fun. They're likable characters. Their designs are really nice. Their voice acting is great. And when there's action, oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. It's second to none as far as I'm concerned. It's like Kill Bill, like when she faces off against the crazy 88, it's almost always like that. And there's nothing wrong with that in my world to see more stuff like that. They also have like other teams in there in the school that are based on like warriors. The second main team has got Joan of Arc, someone that's like Joan of Arc, Achilles, Thor, and Mulan, but the genders are reversed. So like Joan of Arc is actually a guy called Juan or Jean or something like that. But I really, really like it. You know, like for people to say, it's like, oh, you just like a certain version of a superhero, or, you know, you don't like when things are diverse. I do. I like when it's good. And I like when they're not ripping off things. But I can't. I just think it's fantastic. I did want to bring up something which, again, made me think about our conversation last week about Robin and like how a lot of these comic book creators or like these movie production companies, they'll change the race or they'll change the gender character. And, you know, I did say that, well, if they can change like how Superman can now fly and Batman can be dark, you know, they're entitled to do that too, to change a character. But I think I should add a caveat to that. It's got to be good and we got to like it too, because I think Jack, what was the Spider-Man one? Was that what called One More Day?
Oh, when basically Spider-Man makes a deal with Mephisto to save Aunt May by giving up his marriage.
Yeah, that's what it's called, One More Day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hated that, you know? And like Jack had said recently, it seems like it's being reversed.
It looks that way, and it may have already been reversed. I'm just not up to that issue yet.
Yeah, some things work and some things don't. And it's nice to have everybody on board when changes are made, that everybody likes the changes, like they are beneficial for everyone. But again, you know, like we're not always going to be on board with some of the things. But what one thing I was thinking of too is like, say you're in art school and you go to a museum and you see something from Michelangelo or Da Vinci or something like that, and it's a work of art and it looks amazing, but that doesn't mean you get to paint over it or you get to like sculpt over it and all that stuff. Your canvas is right next to you. Work on that canvas or work on that mold of clay instead of changing something that is already classic, is my point. And you can do that. Like, again, I was enthralled with this series. And the same thing with Invincible and The Boys and all that stuff. And those are not characters that we know. So my point is, I just wish they would stop changing the race and the gender of certain characters to kind of be socially responsible in movies and just give us the characters that we love.
That in good stories.
Yeah, in good stories. That was my soapbox moment.
Where can people find the show?
It's on Crunchyroll, but it's also on YouTube too. I would look for the trailer. There's a trailer. They released, when it first came out, 4 different trailers, and it basically highlighted each girl. And they were like 3 minutes each, but I think there's like maybe a 15-minute trailer that combines all of them. Just check it out. Just watch it for 3 minutes and let me know what you think. Now, did you watch any of it, Fedra?
I did. I thought it was really intense. You know, like you said, like the death scenes are brutal. I was kind of in between because I guess I like a different kind of animation when it comes to anime. Like, I don't know how it's professionally called, but like I used to be a big Naruto fan. So I kind of like that kind of anime. And I really thought that this was a game. So it kind of looks like
it does look like
you're watching like a real life game. So I don't know. I mean, I can give it a shot and check it out. But I like the trailers.
Now, is the show on YouTube?
The first episode is on YouTube. I think that they actually do have the first season on YouTube. I was looking. I'll send it to you guys. But if you're listening, just check out the trailer for 3 minutes. The first one with the girl that's like Little Red Riding Hood. If that's something you don't like, then just stop it. But I'm telling you, it looks incredible. I guess what it is too, it's like, again, the girls are basically, they're girls, you know, they're like teenage girls. Like they, like I said, they like, you know, going out to the mall, shopping and all that stuff. But like if a monster happens to come into the street or something like that, they're all excited because they can't wait to work on it and kill it and stuff like that. And I just think it's funny because, you know, like they all kind of wear skirts and, they're very girly, but I think that that's what's so deceptive about them is that when people see them, they're like, oh, give me a break. But as soon as they go in action, they just kick ass from beginning to end. And I just love that. So hopefully you guys will just give the trailer a check out anyway. All righty, so let's get into the news. So big news this week actually was the new trailer, which is actually the final trailer for some reason, for Marvel's Eternals dropped. And thoughts, Jack?
Well, I mean, they finally released something for the Eternals that looks interesting. I thought it was a great trailer. We got to see, learn a little bit more about the Eternals. We got to see them a little bit more in action. We've got to see a Celestial, you know, showing up, so they go into the origins of them, because not many people really know all that much about them. The only thing that I'm a little iffy on is how they've portrayed the deviants, because they look more like they're animals than, you know, humanoid corrupted by science or something. You know, it looked like they're fighting like a lot of, well, like I said, animals versus their dark counterparts. But it looked good. I actually think we're going to be in luck. I mean, and I read also on IO9, they were kind of picking apart the trailer. But, you know, they even mentioned why we didn't see anything of the Eternals during everything with Thanos, when that was happening, you know, how they have their own mission and they're not allowed to interfere with anything that comes along. And if their bosses are the Celestials, you kind of listen to them. They're a bit tougher than Thanos. So, like I said, I'm actually interested now about it, where before it was something I was not. So I'm looking forward to it a bit now.
Okay, that's cool. How about you, Fedra?
I am too. I think it was a great sum up of the trailer. Definitely looks like a good cast. There's definitely a couple strong actors there. I don't know too much about the Eternals personally, so I'm interested in what's going to come of it.
Join the club. I don't either. I think most people don't.
Same thing. I don't know all that much about them. They've come and gone. They've never really had a series that stuck. So that's why we don't see them that often. What I was surprised is in the subtitles, I forget which one. I think it was Gemma Chan. I think she's Cersei, was talking to Dane Whitman, who is the Black Knight. I didn't realize that's who Jon Snow is playing. I didn't realize that they were going to bring the Black Knight in. So that can be kind of cool.
I love that you just did a Game of Thrones reference. That was great.
Well, that was it. I thought he was one of the Eternals, but he's not. He's his own hero in his own right, you know, with the Ebony Blade. So,
well, maybe he will be. I mean, they change it for the movies.
They could, but I mean, everybody else is kind of a far out name. You know, he's Dane Whitman. You know, it's like, you know, oh yes, here's, you know, Thor Odinson, God of Thunder, and then Bob. You know, like, it doesn't quite go. I think he's a regular guy who maybe we'll find like the Ebony Blade in this. I don't know. He's also an underappreciated hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any more thoughts, Fredger? I'm sorry.
No, that was... I agree a lot with what Jack said.
All right, I'll go. So I didn't like the trailer. But this is what I want to point out, though. I don't like any of the trailers that Marvel puts out. I can't remember the last good trailer that they put out because I didn't like Infinity War. I didn't like Endgame. I didn't like Black Panther. I didn't like Captain Marvel. I just don't think they do a good job at trailers. But they do a good job at movies. So that gives me hope. So it's not like I'm going to bash this based on the trailer because I know in advance from what we've seen previously, they leave all the good stuff up on the screen. So I'm hopeful for that.
And we also know they throw in red herrings as well.
Yeah, they do. But I'm still worried about Phase 4, though, because Shang-Chi is coming out in 2 weeks, and they're really not promoting this at all. I'm just not interested in it. And I don't have the interest in Shang-Chi, Eternals. What's the other one? But you know what I'm saying? It's just that it's not a Captain Marvel, a Captain America movie. It's not a Iron Man movie or an Avengers movie. It's just something that I guess if I wasn't doing this show, I'd probably pass on because those are just not stories I'm really interested in. But I will say, I said that about Guardians of the Galaxy too. I didn't know anything about them. I was like, they're crazy for wanting to do a movie about that, but it's one of the best movies they ever did in the MCU. So hopefully that magic will carry over. But I think that we're going to see Shang-Chi very soon. We'll see. I think that that will be a bit of a litmus test to see whether or not they're on the right track. I don't know if you guys had heard like the drama that went on with Shang-Chi recently.
Oh, yes.
No, I have not. Let's hear it.
So, but there's multiple dramas, but what drama did you hear, Jack?
I heard that one of the execs referred to the movie as an experiment.
Oh, no, that was the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek.
Okay, and, you know, they're like, no, this is an experiment. This is a full-on movie. You know, how dare you, you know, say you're just testing the waters because this is a, you know, Asian-themed Marvel movie. So they are very offended by it, and Kevin Feige had to go play Peacemaker. So, you know, it seems
he was settled. It was the actor that plays Shang-Chi seemed like he was very offended by it. He went on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I felt like saying to him, someone needs to tell him to lighten up, Francis, you know, because in reality, though, Jack, all these movies have been experiments. Guardians was definitely an experiment.
Guardians was definitely an experiment, yeah.
Thor was an experiment. It's got nothing to do with the Asian thing, but it has to do with the fact that you're introducing a character that nobody knows about. It's not like it's a Superman movie. It's Shang-Chi. What does he do? Well, go see the movie. You'll find out, you know?
Oh, God. That's terrible.
But it's a tough sell is what I'm saying. And I don't think that they really portrayed in the trailers to get people excited to go and buy a ticket to see this movie. But we'll see. But I think that that's what he meant, that this is an experiment, is that we're not going to go headfirst into like the, you know, our big guns like Thor or whatever. You know, we want to test the waters with unknown characters and see how the audiences react to them.
Anyway. I don't know. I think Shang-Chi looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that one.
I'll see it, but nothing looks fun.
I'm not going to
for me.
I liked the trailer, so I'm very curious.
You do?
Well, I mean, I think the Mandarin is one of the great Marvel villains, even though he's very cliched. But I always liked the Mandarin, and I'm very interested to see what they do with him. They introduced the Ten Rings in the first Iron Man. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, what's the story here in the MCU about it? And we've seen from the trailers of Shang-Chi, it's not the Mandarin with the rings on the fingers that each has a different power. These things, I don't know what they do, but I'm looking forward to finding out. And I hope that's Fin Fang Foom at the bottom of the river or whatever he's swimming down to that we saw. So I hope that's the dragon some ancestral guardian or however there's.
Well, they are renaming it because they feel it's racist.
He's an Asian style dragon. I mean,
no, the name Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah, but he's an Asian style dragon.
No, I agree with you. But again, it's like, why change, you know, Boba Fett's ship to Slave One? Slave One to
that's ridiculous. But
they're just, you know, they're afraid of everything. No, I was going to say, I don't know where this takes place. If it takes place in San Francisco, because it looks like there's a trolley car, or if it takes place in China, or maybe both. I don't know. But
I think it's this new comic series takes place out west. Maybe it's San Francisco.
But if it takes place in China, which I assume they're going to have to go to China at some point, I would rather it all be in Chinese and we just have to read subtitles, but that'll never happen.
No, not for a general audience.
No, people don't like to read. But whatever. They don't. Speaking of some more Asian properties, or I guess Asian influence, a trailer for Star Wars Visions had dropped. And Fedra, what'd you think about that one?
You know, there's somebody who wrote in the comments in YouTube, and they said that the combination of the intensity of anime with Star Wars sounds very exciting. And that made a lot of sense to me. So when I saw it, at first I thought like certain characters in the trailer were kind of hokey, like kind of like, you know, like too funny for Star Wars, at least for me. But again, I always want to kind of go into it openly so that I don't have an expectation, because then I'll just be upset. So I want to just kind of take it in. But I mean, it looked well done. It looked like the people are, you know, that are writing it are really, you know, taking in the essence of Star Wars into it. So who knows?
Yeah. Jack?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it. Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. I get the eye roll there. I know you sent it over, but I was at work, and we have a no cell phone policy that they're trying to strictly enforce. So I'm there, and all of a sudden I start to hear the Joe Hogarty alert. And I'm like, where's the phone? I got turned off. So,
well, I emailed it to you too.
Yeah. Well,
2 days ago.
I haven't really been on, but I did send an email today. So I'm sure we'll hear something back.
All right. Good. So, you know me, I love anime, and I mean, I'm really looking forward to the series. The only thing I'm worried about, there's a couple things I'm worried about. I think it looks beautiful. I mean, most of it. It's going to be 9 different individual stories. It's not going to be a continuous story that continues after every episode. And it's going to be different studios and artists working on each individual story. So with that, I think that we're going to get some really good ones, and we're going to get some really bad ones. Or we might, you know, maybe we'll get mediocre ones. But some of the animation looks really good. And like Fedra said, some of it looks very childish. But again, if it's written well, it could be good. But I like when we see like some of the, I guess, Jedi with the lightsabers, and they're battling the Sith and all that stuff. I mean, it looks pretty cool. I don't think we're going to see any familiar characters, although I think I saw like a Boba Fett head really quick. I don't know. And I hope that the United States version or Disney stays out of it, that they just give the Japanese creators free reign and they don't influence anything. I don't want to see any social issues of the day or anything like that. I just want them to do what they know how to do best and bring anime to the masses. Like, again, I'm an anime fan, and to me, that's a dream come true, is combining Star Wars with anime. Like, I have all the Marvel stuff with anime that they had done years ago. Like, there was a Wolverine series and an Iron Man series and an X-Men series. And it's not the best, but I love the style of animation that they use. So fingers crossed, hopefully it's good. We'll see. I'm glad it's coming out next month. This is a, you know, again, I don't like when they release a lot of episodes like at once, like with Daredevil. I always say they gave us 13 episodes in one day, and I was like, that's too much. It's overload. I wish they do that with this series, because I'd like to see it one after the other, but I have a feeling that they're going to milk it where it'll be one episode after, you know, one an episode a week. But yeah, check it out, Jack, when you get a chance.
Well, I actually have it on here now, so I'm watching as it goes.
Oh, okay.
Understand some of the characters look a little too cutesy.
Yeah, that's what Fredrick said.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, and I don't know. For me, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Joe. They did a Star Wars anime version
of
X-Wing and TIE Fighter, which I thought was incredible.
I love that, yeah.
Send
it to you, Fedra.
That I think blows anything in this visions away, because that was just so incredible. And what they did was, so you could see some sort of emotion. When they zoomed in on the TIE pilots, their helmets kind of faded. So you'd see the outline, but you'd almost have that little Tony Stark in the helmet look. So you could see what the TIE fighter pilots were kind of expressing and emoting, you know, where, you know, instead of just seeing the flat helmet, you're seeing the person inside like yelling and screaming and all sorts of stuff. So that I thought was simply incredible. I don't know. It looks okay. It just looks okay to me from what I saw.
Well, I'm definitely,
some of them might be great in that we just haven't seen those scenes. But hey, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it did piss me off after we did see that whole thing that you just talked about, And I don't even know if it was done by a studio or not, or if it was done by fans, I forget, but it wasn't authorized by Disney when they did this whole TIE Fighter versus X-Wing and stuff.
I think it's much older. I think it's pre.
Yeah, it might've been pre-purchased from Disney, but I don't think Fox authorized it either. But I mean, once they saw that, I was like, why didn't they just say, stop the presses? This is what we need to focus on. We need a movie like this. I mean, who is not a Star Wars fan? When you look at that, and again, guys, do a search for it. Anime, Star Wars, TIE Fighter versus X-Wing on YouTube. You'll see it. It's incredible looking. It's a sin that nothing was ever done with it other than, I think it's like maybe 5 minutes, maybe a little longer, but it's just sad that we never got anything like that.
Yeah. And that's what was cool is they actually showed a bit of the story from the Imperial side and the Rebel side.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
Again, you know, if I was CEO of Disney, I would settle my thing with Scarlett Johansson. I would bring us the anime that we just seen, like I was talking about, what we were talking about on YouTube. I'd make that into a full scale movie. And again, Slave Leia would be coming back to the parks.
And you'd leave Boba Fett's ship alone.
Yep. Boba Fett's, I would make, not only would I leave it alone, but I'd have him have a whole fleet. So there would be Slave 2, Slave 3, Slave 4. And if anyone's pissed about the name, they don't have to buy tickets to the park. They don't have to buy tickets to my movies. Don't bother me. You know, it's like, all right, anyway.
If Joe ruled Hollywood.
If I were king of the forest. Speaking of Scarlett Johansson, so it was kind of revealed that the reason why they're really having problems with each other, and I was right about this, is that Scarlett basically blindsided Disney about all this. She didn't discuss it with them. She just went with the lawsuit, made the papers, kind of painted Disney as a bad guy in a way, and they ended up coming back and tried to paint her as the bad guy. So again, this all could have been settled if she would have tried to play nice, I think. But again, we don't know what happened behind the scenes, but I think that she should have kept it out of the press, you know, done it privately. Thoughts, guys?
I don't know. I think there's more to the story. We don't hear everything except for what somebody digs up. But I can't see this her going straight to the press. I'm sure she has enough lawyers there that would go and knock on the door first to make overtures and make you just slam the door or something. You know, get out of here, kid. You bother me. So I don't know. I don't think we get the full story of how it rolled out because there's so much PR spinning at this point right now. I think we should just stick to the issue of what the lawsuit entails, not how it came about in terms of, you know, how we heard about it. Because they could have been in talks weeks before this broke. And then somebody said, you know, I'm spilling to the press. So, of course, they're going to paint each other in the worst light possible. And we'll see what comes through. I'm sure Emma Stone is very closely watching this with Cruella.
Well, and, I was going to mention that. Whoa, before you go any further, Disney struck a deal with Emma Stone where she's going to return as Cruella in Cruella 2.
Yeah. But like I said, if there's enough money, if they say, you know, oh, well, here's $10 million. If you come back as Cruella in Cruella 2, which I'm still waiting for that to come on free.
I know, me too. It's good.
Then I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But then somebody says, well, you know, you would have gotten a box office take of $50 million.
Frederick, can we attack him? Why? How come you can watch Cruella and you can't watch Joker?
Oh, come on. We got to let it
go. Cruella looks
fun. Come on.
I'm not letting it go.
Cruella looks fun. The Joker does not look fun. It looks like a movie about a depressing person going over the edge, and that's not what I consider fun. That's not what I want to spend 2 hours watching.
But they basically say, I haven't seen it yet, but I heard that this is basically the Joker movie, but with Cruella in it.
But it looks fun. The Joker just does not look fun. And like I said, it just, the whole movie, everything I heard about it, doesn't look like something I would enjoy watching. And I mean, I sat through the Snyder cut of Justice League because everyone said, oh, you got to watch it. And that was.
Nobody said you had to watch that.
Oh, you and Taylor were like, I can't believe you hated that movie. You know,
no,
it's just, like I said, if I never see the Justice League movie again, I'll be fine. Wow. Andrea, when I die, they can release all the Zack Snyder cuts in the world that they want because I'll be gone.
Well, dude, if you die before me, I'm sticking a Blu-ray copy of the Joker in your coffin, you know, at the wake.
Oh, boy.
It'll be, sorry, that casket will be too full of my comic books because they're coming with me.
Well, yeah, they can come with you too, but I'll
there
just
won't
bury
be room
it in
for
there.
A Blu-ray.
I'll put my arms around you and go, oh, Jack, and then just kind of slip it underneath your pillow. All right, Fedra, your thoughts on Scarlett and
he
Disney
really
drama.
Is a mean-spirited man, isn't he, Fedra?
He's very persistent. I'll give him that. He ain't giving up on you. I mean, I agree with Jack in that, you know, we don't really know the full story. I mean, I would also say, you know, maybe the lawyers were kind of counseling Scarlett to put it in the in the media, and like let's give Disney a little fire, you know? Maybe that was it. Like I think that we should just focus on the agenda, which is thinking about not only, you know, her rights as the actress for the role of this film, but for any actor or actress that's, you know, put in this position in the future.
Yeah, well said. What I found crazy is that she just gave birth the other day.
Yeah, she did.
What?
She's a mom.
She's a mom.
Well, no, she's been a mom a couple of times over.
I didn't realize she has other kids.
Well, she was pregnant during Ultron.
You did mention that. Yep, you mentioned that last time.
That's right.
But my point is, why would you want to create this much stress in your life when you're about to have a baby? I mean, if I would have done anything, I would have waited until I gave birth.
Well, I mean, it's her livelihood. I mean, it's her money.
I know, but it's only a couple of
weeks.
College
is expensive. You got to start that fund as soon as they're ready to come out.
Amen.
Still, I mean, she may have, they had to say, it's like, well, Disney might play dirty. And she didn't want that. You know, I just like, if I'm about to give birth, I don't want to be under any stress. I'm just going to wait a couple of weeks until the baby's born. I'm not going to, you know, instigate something that can cause something to happen to me or upset me or paint me as like a shrew or something like that in the press. I just found it weird that she acted when she did. She should have waited a couple of weeks as far as I'm concerned, but I'm glad everything good happened with her, with the baby and stuff and nothing bad happened. So congratulations if you're listening, Scarlett. But you're wrong, Scarlett, by the way, if you're listening. no, I mean, they gave her $20 million. We've said this over and over again. She doesn't deserve that pay increase. No one really deserves that pay increase. Most of her peers did not, I would say, have that amount, other than Robert Downey Jr. And again, she's not a main character and all that stuff. They should have given her like maybe $3 million and she could have told her story on Disney Plus. I wouldn't blame Disney for the fact that the movie is not doing as good as it could be doing or similar to their other blockbusters. It's just nobody's really excited about a Black Widow movie. Maybe if it was released after Endgame, and we didn't have COVID and it came out last year, yeah, it would have made probably a decent amount of change in the theaters. But again, you know, that's something that was unexpected. But it, which I was mentioning before, it seems like Disney worked out something with Emma Stone to prevent her from doing something similar. And again, I think that they could have worked something out with Scarlett too. And instead, they cut ties completely with her now. She was supposed to be in that Tower Terror movie, and she just burned her bridges. And I think that she could have profited from it. She still could profit. She could win the lawsuit. Again, I haven't read the contract, but we'll see.
We'll see how it turns out.
I sent you guys a leaked picture of Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight. It's Jack, you know what Moon Knight looks like. What'd you think?
It looks like they kind of went with the Brian Hitch style a little bit, where he's a little bit more wrinkly than when he first appeared. He was very, his costume was very smooth and I don't know how you want to try. Wrinkle free. But this, they kind of made him a little bit more wrinkly, like, that's the only way to put it, in that artist style. But I thought he looks pretty, pretty good. You know, he looks like if you were walking down the street and you saw that perched on a window, a building ledge looking down at you, yeah, you'd probably freak out. So he looks really pretty good in it.
Fedra?
Yeah, I think it looks really cool. I like the design a lot. in the photo, at least to me, it looked kind of darkish blue, kind of giving that night and moonlit vibe, and I really like it.
Yeah, I'm usually not impressed with anything, but I was impressed with this, if this was actually the costume, because for me, it's fairly comic accurate. I forget which artist I was writing or drawing on the Moon Knight comics that I was collecting back in the day, but it looks very similar to me. And I think they did a tremendous job. And again, I was just shocked, because sometimes we don't get good costumes, like with Scarlet Witch. And even I had problems with Captain America's costume.
Well, Iron Man, Avengers was kind of,
yeah, that was
rough. Yeah.
But this looks pretty comic book accurate, so I'm very happy, and I'm hoping that if the costume is accurate, that the story is accurate. And Oscar Isaacs he's a pretty good actor, so I'm looking forward to it. Last news story. So there's a rumor that Finn, John Boyega, might be returning as the character in a series for Disney Plus, in which he will play the character before he meets Rey. So I guess he's still working for the First Order.
Insanitation.
I thought you were going to say insanity. That was going to be my word, but you're saying insanitation? Okay.
In the sanitation department, because isn't that what he worked in on the Starkiller base?
Yeah, it sounds like an exciting series.
Like, here he comes, sweeping the broom, you know? Yeah. It's like, goes on that edge where, you know, the big gun fires, and he sort of sweeps the dirt over, you know? I don't know. That just doesn't sound very good. And I'm surprised that would be even happening the way he was speaking out about how his character was handled. I'm surprised they'd let him come back at all. So.
Oh, no, I am too. Fedra?
I mean, I liked the Finn character, so I would love to see what they do with the series, but now that Jack did remind me of what he was doing, it's like, what are they going to come up with?
Yeah, you know, like, do you have a trash compactor? Oh, yeah, they do. You know, like, I know how to operate it. Like, okay, dude, you know.
Would he work on toilets too?
Hey, he knew where the trash compactor was to stash Phasma. So he was picking up garbage and dumping it somewhere, I guess.
I loved John Boyega's Finn in the first one. I thought he was great in it. And the other two, I just didn't like them, you know, and I was done with his character. Character should have been killed off in the second one. And he was just horrible in the third one. I don't want to see it. And like Jack said, he verbally assaulted Disney in the press, complaining about how they treated his character. He brought racism into it. And I was like, I think you burned your bridges, buddy. You know, it's like not everybody in a Star Wars movie shines all the time. They should be happy that you're in the movie to begin with. But he was complaining, like, why didn't I hook up with Rey? You know, why wasn't I a Jedi and stuff like that? And it's like, was he Mark Hamill Jr.? I just don't get it. Anyway, I hope it never happens.
I'd be more excited to see the Lando series with, what's his name? Donald Glover.
Yeah, I would see that. I agree.
I think that would be a fun series to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's get into our main topic, and that is What If? And the most current episode was called What If T'Challa Became a Star-Lord? And Fedra, you've seen it. What did you think?
So overall, didn't really like it. I mean, it was good that I had already seen Guardians 1 and 2. Just to, you know, kind of get into this episode. It just didn't feel solid, like a solid episode. And what I mean by that, it's like right in the opening, you know, the guy's like kissing up to him. And I just felt like it was just too much. Then the whole, you know, exploring the universe and connecting that. I thought that was interesting on a play of it. But, you know, the Collector being the villain and Thanos being cool and Nebula being cool. It was just like, to me, it was just too, I guess, opposite for me to really connect to it. I mean, I guess they want to show this like alternate universe, but I just don't think this was the right character blend for me personally between Star-Lord and, I'm going to say it wrong, T'Challa. So, I mean, I like the whole aspect of connecting with Yondu and then again, him reuniting with his father, you know, back at his home. But I think the whole fight scene, the whole, just that whole part, I mean, I could have lived without. So honestly, like if I had to compare, I would say episode one was actually better than episode two. And I even have my own reserves about episode one.
Yeah, well, I think we both did. We all did. All right, Jack.
I am disappointed so far in What If all around. It's not a screaming endorsement when your episode one puts me to sleep. And this one was just god awful. I don't know who they're writing this for. This was like bad fan fiction wish fulfillment from like some little kid with a word processing program of how T'Challa is the best, you know, and, you know, everybody admires him. Like he even softened Thanos's heart and Yondu is, you know, I don't know what, the loving big brother or something. I thought this episode was total crap.
Wow.
Yes. This is the equivalent of Suicide Squad 2 from Joe's rating translating to me. This is something that is a waste of time so far. They've got one more episode. And if that's their third strike, I'm done with What If, because are they writing this for little kids that they're not going to be like looking for that deep a story, or anyone who has a connection with the rest of these characters? I mean, having the Collector, you know, go into melee with Yondu and T'Challa, that's not the Collector. The Collector's a schemer. He's the guy, you know, that he's there, and if it comes down to a fight, he backs off and, you know, and says, hey, hench guy, take care of them. And then after the heroes destroy the hench guy, you know, the Collector's like, whoa, can't you guys take a joke? I just wanted to see what you could do. He doesn't get into brawls. That's not the character. Yondu was too buddy-buddy, too soft, that I couldn't believe this was a guy going out picking up kids on different planets, you know, like basically kidnapping kids. You know, I just couldn't get that from this character. The character in that What If episode wouldn't do that. And Thanos now hanging out at the bar, buying drinks for people, leaning over railings to like, hey, bud, how you doing? No, this was garbage. And it's getting into Joker territory, folks, for me, folks.
Insane Joker.
But what I mean is that,
oh, that you might,
I'm going to have absolutely no interest in wasting my time on this. And like I said, I love the What If stories. When those books came out, those were some great, fun, freaky stories. This series is not. Everybody in the galaxy loves T'Challa. And he's doing all these things in it as well. But he's not supposed to have the Black Panther powers yet. When they show him and he's doing parkour off of Collector's cases and doing these different flips and all this stuff, he doesn't have those powers yet, you know, because his dad is still alive back on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It was like bad teenage fan fiction. T'Challa is the best and everybody knows it. No, just garbage. Rubbish. That's the word. Rubbish.
Well, I'm going to start off with some positives.
It's going to be short list, I bet.
Well, yeah, but it's still positive, at least. I love the animation. I think the animation looks incredible. And for the most part, I like the voice cast, especially having Chadwick Boseman do the voice of T'Challa, you know, after he, you know, now that he's gone. It just was really sad because he does a good job, you know, portraying the character. And now that he's
great
gone,
as the character, he was great.
But yeah, no, I like, you know, it was just kind of sentimental seeing him or hearing him, you know, in it. I want to start again, which I said last week. I can't stand Jeffrey Wright as the voice of the Watcher. It bothers me because, again, I think that some of these writers or Disney or Marvel are just picking people that they like. And he is not the Watcher. Number one, he talks too fast. He talks really fast, you know, and I always kind of imagine the Watcher just basically saying, the stories I am about to tell you. You
know, yeah, like, you're right there. That's more like a Watcher voice.
Yeah, totally miscast. And it sucks that he's always going to be him now. And it's not that he's an integral part, but still, they dropped the ball on that one.
Would love to have Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman would have been great. There were so many other voices. Who was that guy? David Keese. You remember him? He was, remember that show Gargoyles?
Oh, yes, I do. I can't remember the voices, though.
No, but he was like the leader, and he had like a very deep and slow drone voice, you know. Not Jeffrey Wright.
Some say with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, deliver it nice and slow and meaningful, not just blow through it.
Yeah, I recall him saying, what could it be? The watcher would never say anything like that. All right, I got to move on. So my problem, like I said, with the previous one is, and my biggest fear after watching the first one, and I think I had told you this, is I'm afraid that this is going to be not what if, it's going to be woke if. And I kind of feel that that's what they're doing. They're basically replacing white male characters with either a female character or a person of color, and they're making them 10 times more superior or better than the original character. And again, I like Chadwick Boseman and I like the Black Panther, but like Jack had said, everybody was kissing his ass. Thanos is kissing his ass, and that guy, what is his name? I wrote it down. Dijmon Khonsu as Karrath, you know, Fedra had said, come on. Are you really going to kiss? I mean, I was expecting, I'm sure if you would have looked into T'Challa's mouth, you'd be seeing his smiling face because it was so far up his butt, you know, just absolutely ridiculous the way he behaved and the way everybody behaved. That's the problem that I've always said. A character has to have some sort of flaws, make some kind of mistakes, and then come back from it, you know, like Rocky or something like that, for us to be on board. When you create a character that is completely perfect in every way, it's not fun. Superman is not fun when he's always perfect. He needs kryptonite, he needs to screw up, and then he has to come back from that. Now, even as a child, T'Challa, when he's on Wakanda, and he meets Yondu, or you know, for the first time, he's not afraid. He's excited. He's happy. He doesn't give a damn that he's leaving his family. And it's like, I want to be an adventurer. You know, it's because the complete opposite of Peter Quill. And it just annoyed me that, like Jack said, he didn't have any real powers at this point. But he was far better than Peter Quill, who was actually a demigod, and he didn't even know it.
Right.
Everybody hates Peter Quill. Like, Yondu hated...
Well, Peter Quill is a jerk in the galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy MCU version. He is. But he's a lovable jerk.
He's a lovable jerk. But, I mean, Yondu, I thought he was going to make out with T'Challa. I mean, the way he was showering him so much with love, it just really turned me off. If it would have been that they were similar stories, but he handled it differently, but for them to all say, oh, you know, we need to bow before T'Challa, it just does a disservice mostly to the Black Panther character and Chadwick Boseman. It's embarrassing. I mean, even in him as the character says, like, you know, when that guy, his name is Karrath the pursuer, and he's
right.
Like kneeling
that,
before
that
him.
Sounds right, yeah.
And he's like, no, you don't need to kneel, you know. It's embarrassing. They're pandering to a specific audience, like trying to push that this is who Star-Lord really should have been. This is what every superhero should really be like. Unfortunately, because of this country, they were not written that way. They were not drawn that way. We're going to correct all that. And again, that's what I have a problem with. They do with Superman and all that stuff. And like I said, there are a lot of shows out there, The Boys, Invincible, and RWBY. There are a lot of diverse characters. There are a lot of unknown characters, but if you write them well, you will have a fan base. And again, create your own original characters. Don't change them. I mean, it's okay for What If to change them, but what they did previously with Captain Carter, oh, she's way better than Steve Rogers. She's perfect. She could have beat the crap out of Superman in that first episode. I don't like the direction that they're going in it. I mean, and like Jack said, that the next episode might be his last.
Yeah, I mean, because like, even if they took the old comics and took those concepts, what would happen if the Fantastic Four's powers were mixed up? What if Baron Mordo became the Sorcerer Supreme instead of Doctor Strange? I mean, they had these wacky, weird stories, but they were fun. And they could go off as crazy as they wanted because it's just a what-if story. It doesn't affect any continuity or anything. These first two episodes just, I don't know where they're coming from with it.
But, you know, getting back to this episode, so that point when Nebula seems to...
calling him Cha-Cha?
Oh, she was calling him Cha-Cha. I forgot about that.
Cha-Cha. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So no matter what happened, she would never be... Even in her own storyline, Thanos was torturing her and doing terrible things to her that she wouldn't be all lovey-dovey, oh, dad, with him. It just doesn't... It wouldn't work like that. It's just rubbish.
Well, my point is that at first I thought that Nebula was betraying him, and I was like, okay, this is good.
I could see that.
He's being betrayed. He didn't catch it, you know, that she was going to betray him, and now he has to get out of this predicament. But no, he thought up the whole plan himself, you know, for her to act like she was betraying him. And again, it's like, he's too perfect. You can't do that to a hero. It's not fun. And again, I think it's insulting to both Black Panther and Star-Lord's characters and then when you look at the end, Peter Quill, what is he? He's working in Dairy Queen. You know, it's, and they didn't have, what's his name? Chris Pratt. Yeah, Chris Pratt. They didn't have him voice the character, which again makes me suspicious. I know they don't like him. Nobody likes him on a certain political side because of his political views, which he doesn't share with people, but he doesn't condemn people either, which they think that you need to speak up against certain people.
Yeah,
if you don't,
you're just as bad.
Yeah. So that he was not a voice actor on that made me think they didn't even bother to ask him. And it's like, do we really want him? Because I mean, I have to say, when Taylor was on the show, he always hinted that he didn't like Chris Pratt and that, you know, he was disappointed to learn that he was going to be in the new Thor movie. And I'm like, what newspaper are you reading now? What did he do today? Oh, he hung a flag up in his backyard, an American flag. Stone him, banish him to Bogeyland.
I mean, I liked that part actually toward the end because it made me like kind of choke up, like, oh no, like the what if is like if he actually got, you know, contaminated by his dad and became, you know, and he actually convinced, you know, Peter to join him, you know, like that was my thought when I saw the ending. And like, oh, of course, he's working at that Dairy Queen where everything that, you know, he planted is literally right behind it. Like, that's kind of what I liked about it.
I forgot about that. That's a good point.
But I could see also your point of, you know, not having Chris Pratt even do the voice and then also just making him look very helpless.
And, you know, and I try not to get into politics or be political, but Jeffrey Wright is very political. And that's why I think they hired him, is because he was very outspoken about the previous administration. And I think they were like, oh, we need this guy. We got to give him something, you know? All right. So, yeah, I didn't like it. I probably liked it better than you guys did, though.
I would say it sounds, because you actually came up with some positives. There was so much I disliked about it, I couldn't even come up with positives.
Well, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Fedra.
No, I'm just going to stick with what I said, which was, I think I still like the first one more than this one, actually. And I'm basing it off of the entire episode, like all the writing and everything. Like, the second one just, I just did not connect to it. I felt very disconnected. Like you said, it was too perfect. And that's not what, you know, when you see a true hero of values, you see them struggle. And in this entire episode, he didn't really have any struggle whatsoever. Everything worked out perfectly. And it's just...
Or is it seriously... I'm probably giving too much credit, but it could be an awesome tragedy that you have this hero out in the galaxy, so perfect, I can save everything. But it's the guy working on in Dairy Queen that causes the whole universe to be destroyed by ego.
Hey.
It's like an M. Night Shyamalan twist. It's a twist.
That's a good point, Jack.
There you go.
I just don't think we're going to see that, though.
Perfect Mary Sue T'Challa is gone because Peter Quill was in the wrong Dairy Queen at the wrong night.
Well, I know future episodes, we're going to see Doctor Strange, we're going to see Spider-Man, and we're going to see Thor. There's 9 episodes, I think. So we've gone through 2. So... I think there's a zombies one, which I hate. I never understood the fascination with Marvel zombies, but there's one of those too.
Can I say a few things though about episode 1? Because I never got to say anything.
Sure, you can. Yes.
Okay. I agree that she was a little too big. I think that was a little unnecessary. I still agree with what I said about the reasoning behind probably why they didn't have her scream. I think the one thing...
What was that reasoning?
Oh, I was saying that psychologically they show that people just overall don't like to hear a female scream. So maybe that's why they just didn't put it in there.
I liked it in King Kong.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a scary moment, you know.
I kind of said that because I wanted to see Jack's expression.
Well, you know, Faye Ray's there and, you know.
No, King no.
He's giving her the how you doing look, you know. I can see her screaming.
No, he's always rolling his eyes when Ray says something. I just wanted to see if I can get him to roll his eyes. I'm sorry, Fedra.
Well, the one thing that, you know, really bothered me, and I'm so glad that I saw more of Captain America films to really identify it, because to me, I have a problem with it as, you know, if I'm going to talk as a woman, that was something that really bothered me in this episode, is that they made her so powerful, so aggressive, so forthright that she didn't have a team. She didn't, like in the episode, she didn't look to the team at all. She was just like, I got it. I'll save Bucky. I'll handle it. I'll do the squid.
Point.
Like, it was always just like, I'll get it. I got it. And I was just like, that's not what Captain America did. Like, Captain America actually delegated like a real leader. Like, yeah, I get it. You lead the pack, but everybody else got a role and everybody else has something to do to get it done together. And they get out together. This didn't happen. And that was my real problem. Like, you know, Steve being very you know, weak, and putting him in the Iron Man suit, I thought that was entertaining, but it also just still didn't connect. I just was just like, no, you don't belong in that suit. That's not you. And then when she fights the squid and then like sacrifices herself, I had a huge problem with that, because if we're going to go and argue from a feminist point of view, I know they'll be like, yeah, she saves the day, we don't need men, yada, yada, yada. But then I would say, if we want to flip that, why does the woman always have to sacrifice herself for everything? Why is that still being shown? Because that's how I would flip it. And then when she comes into the new, time frame, she doesn't react. She's just like, okay, yeah, it's 70 years later. Like, it's like, come on. Like, there would be some psychological, emotional scarring there. Like, whether it's a man or a woman, just show your freaking emotions. It's okay. You know, it's what makes us human. You know, having that imperfection is perfection. You know, so I'm sorry to grind it's grinding my gears right now. But I mean, overall, like, that's what was really upsetting, that kind of ending, because it was just like, that's what I loved the most about the Avengers, that they all work together. And like, for this, it was just, you know, she's super fast, she's super strong, she's huge for her size. And it's like, why can't you just embrace the feminine body as is? It does not need to be masculine. It does not need to represent masculinity. It could be a feminine body with all the power of the universe and still delegate as a team, and you could still get that message across. I don't still understand why they're doing that, because that seems very hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as like, you know, when I see women, how do I say this without getting slammed? but I do like, when I'm at the gym and I see girls working out and they have, and they're toned and they're muscular and they're lifting weights and stuff like that, I do like that. I think that, you know, some of that could be attractive, but I think that they went a little overboard with her, by turning her into a giant.
Yeah. I mean, I love all women of all shapes and sizes. Of course. I'm just saying that they constantly, and I've seen it where they just portray power as being like, you know, She-Hulk. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. I feel like she could have been a certain physique where she didn't have to be just like, you know, that's what I mean. I hope that's getting across.
No, it is. No, I agree with you there. Like, if I had a chance with either She-Hulk or Captain Carter, I would choose She-Hulk, because Captain Carter just looks ridiculous. And again, that's why that whole romance doesn't work. They belong in a freak show, you know, Steve and Peggy, you know, the bearded lady and the guy who stretches. They would never be a couple. They would never be a couple.
Well, I mean, I know before I fell asleep, they already made reference to saving that dance like three times. It's like, it was groan inducing.
Yeah. I mean, I hated that in the original movie, you know, and then in every single damn, the sequel, in the Avengers, Ultron, Endgame, Infinity War. Maybe she doesn't like to dance, Steve, you know?
Maybe there's a reason you're not getting that dance.
I mean, can't you talk about something else but dancing and all that? It's like, I know if it was my French friend, he would go, I can think of other things I would like to do other than dance, you know? but no, I mean, I agree mostly what you said. Jack half agrees, because he only made it through half the episode.
No, and I mean, like, thanks. I
said, it's not a screaming endorsement for this show, so
yeah.
No, and it's just I wanted to get that out, because it was just like, I really went into it openly, and I really just wasn't happy with it. And I was even looking at, you know, Julian, my boyfriend, and even he was just like, why is she doing everything? Like, and we were both really in a lot of agreement in it. So I really liked hearing that, because of course I want to hear the male perspective. I want to know what he thinks and what he sees and what he catches in those messages. And, you know, we were in agreement with a lot of it.
Well, that's why we like having you on, to hear a female perspective of things. But yeah, I mean, I just felt, again, I think that the problem is the writers, that they're writing for a particular audience, and they think that what they're doing is they're helping history. They're helping people look at a world that should be, even though for the most part, I think that we all do get along. I think that we all consider ourselves equals based on, you know, gender or race or sexual preference and all that stuff. But there are some people, I guess, that are not that way. I mean, I'll admit that. But I think that there are a lot of people that think that most of the world is like that. And I don't think that's the case. I think that, you know, we all consider each other equals. But that doesn't mean that you need to, again, take a character, like a female character, have her replace the male character and make her 10 times better than that male character was. It's almost like, it's like, you know, you're trying to force somebody to eat broccoli, you know, and after a while, you don't want to eat broccoli. I don't know if I said that properly, but whatever, you get what I'm saying. It's like, don't force things on me, all right? You know, just make it occur naturally. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
So I guess with that, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and you can email me at fedraecris@gmail.com.
And you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. Also, please visit the Carousel of Products, where there is a ton of fun WDWNT merchandise on sale. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 30. Until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night.